We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day to you, Brevard County. This is Bob Arthurs, and we want to thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast. And happy anniversary to those out there who it is your anniversary today. You know who you are. And so just didn't want you to think I forgot about you. But anyway, want to thank you for tuning in. We're continuing our study of Joseph. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 40 today. But if you find yourself in the middle of this summer heat wave and your air conditioning is not working up to par, if you would need somebody to take a look at that, call Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. That's 759-3284. They can get you back up and running in no time at all. And so they've done a lot of work for us at our facility, including changing, I believe it's three air conditioners, two air conditioners. No, three. They have changed three air conditioners for us and do the maintenance on them as well. And so we highly recommend them to you. So today we want to take you to the Word, Genesis chapter 40. Do want you to know that as far as our midweek services go this week, they are non-existent. We are taking our kids to camp and picking them up. And so we're giving our workers the week off. And so we are very thankful for those who co-labor with us at Merit Assembly of God. We really do have a church filled with wonderful people. And if you're looking for a church home, we encourage you to come by Merit Assembly of God. Let us share the love of Jesus with you and share the word with you. And we would just love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing there. We give him all the glory and the honor and the praise. We dreamed bigger this year than we had ever dreamed, and God has exceeded our dreams. And so we give him the glory and the honor and the praise for that. So Genesis chapter 40, concerning Joseph, it says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, so they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his lord's house, saying, 'Why do you look so sad today?' And they said to him, 'We have each had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it.' So Joseph said to them, 'Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please.' Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, 'Behold, in my dream, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to them, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me, make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon.' When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, 'I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. Three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. So here in chapter 40, we find that it came to pass, is what it begins to say there. And I'll never forget one time I had someone call me up and ask me, said, Pastor, where in the Bible does it say that this too shall pass? And I informed them that it never says that in the scriptures. But it does say over and over again that it came to pass. And it is true that the things that come into our life, with the exception of Jesus, they are going to come in and they are going to pass away. Whether it is people, whether it's money, whether it's possessions, whether it's a career, whatever it is, it comes, but it comes to pass. There is only one thing that that has any longevity for eternity, and that is Jesus Christ living in your heart. That is how we store up treasure for ourselves in heaven. His word never passes away. Heaven and earth never pass away, but everything else passes away. Now this phrase, and it came to pass, means that there was some time from the end of chapter 39 where Joseph is beginning to walk in favor with the warden of the prison, and the time when this story in chapter 40 begins. A lot of times when we are reading through the Bible, because we can read it so quickly, by the way, I will tell you this, that from the audio recordings that I have had in times past, that a professional orator reading at a steady pace can read through the entire Bible in about 80 hours. One of the biggest excuses that people say that is the reason that they do not read their Bible is that they just don't have the time. And I want you to know that in reality, you can read through the entire Bible in as little as 15 minutes a day, and that is if you are reading it audibly, out loud. It only takes about 80 hours. Reading it as you would read a regular novel, not reading it out loud, but just reading it by your eyes, you can read it a lot faster than that. And so do you and I really believe that we are so busy and so preoccupied that we cannot carve out 10 or 15 minutes to spend in the Word of God, which when we hide it in our hearts, prevents us from sinning against God? I'm telling you that we do have time, that we do have time. We need to make time for that. But what I was going to say about this is as we're reading the scriptures, we can literally be covering, especially in Genesis, we can be covering hundreds of years in just one day's reading. You know, you go from Genesis chapter 1 to Genesis chapter 12 I happen to read about 10 chapters a day is about what I average. And, you can literally cover hundreds or, over 1,000 years in one sitting. And so when we're reading this, we can't think that, well, Joseph began to walk in authority and that God was with him and made everything he did to prosper in Genesis chapter 39, verse number 23. And just the very next day that all of a sudden the baker and the butler show up in the prison. It doesn't say what the time frame was leading up to the baker and the butler being put into prison. And so it came to pass, you and I, we need to acknowledge this aspect of God's leadership, that everything he does is done in perfect timing. Without going into a lot of detail, I will tell you that there were times when there was an intense longing in my heart. It was a matter of prayer. It was an innate desire inside of me. It was not something frivolous. It was a heartfelt desire. But what I did not understand was the timing aspect of it. That the reason that the answer had not come was because the timing wasn't right. The placement wasn't right. The positioning wasn't right. It wasn't that anybody had sinned or was out of position. It was just that God was behind the scenes working and orchestrating details that I was not cognizant of, that I was not aware of. And yet when the timing came to pass, when it was the perfect timing, just like it said that in Galatians, that in the fullness of time, God sent his son. You know, there were people longing and crying out for the Messiah. In the book of Exodus, you are going to find that there were people longing and crying out for Moses to come and be their deliverer. They just didn't know Moses by name. And there were, God was behind the scenes orchestrating. You know, at one point in time, my wife and I had sent out approximately 200 resumes. We sent them everywhere. We sent them to Alaska. I can tell you that my wife has had her share of cold weather from being raised in a northern climate, and she would not really enjoy ministering in Alaska. But we sent resumes to Alaska. We sent them to North Dakota, just literally 15 miles south of the Canadian border. All we knew was that God had called us to pastor, and 200 resumes and no response, none, zero, zilch. And, finally, after sending those out, I'll tell you this, I got frustrated. It'd been a couple of years that we'd been serving in a church, and I wasn't frustrated serving in the church. I was a bit frustrated because I was not living up to the call that God had for me at that point in time. And so, we, up until that point in time, we had been living, for nearly 2 years. It was within just weeks of two years that we had been married. And all that time we had been living pretty much out of boxes and out of suitcases. And we just had the minimal, supplies of life unpacked. Everything else was still packed in the boxes that they had been for over 2 years. And we were just waiting for God to call, that any day it was going to come. And I finally came to the place where we moved into another apartment, and I said, okay, I'm done living like a vagabond. I'm done living with, you know, boxes all over the place. You know, there's a funny story. In our very first apartment, right after we got married, one night my wife was having a dream, and in her dream she had stumbled, tripped on some of the boxes that we had lying around. And so in her dream, she kicked the box, and what she actually did was she just kicked the fool out of my leg. And I was like, ow, what'd you do that for? And she said, well, if you'd move that box out of the way, I wouldn't be kicking it. You know, that was the reality that we were living in. So we moved into this new apartment, and I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Everything is going to have a place. Everything is going to have a place. And whatever doesn't have a place, we're going to get a storage unit, and it'll go into the storage unit. But I'm not going to live like this anymore. Remember, 200 resumes, no response. The next day, I'm getting ready for work. Worked the late shift, and was taking a shower, and the phone rang, and my wife came and said, there's a pastor on the phone, and he wants to meet us for dinner tomorrow night. They're bringing their son in to tour a school, and he wants to know if he can take us for dinner. And to make a long story short, that when the timing was right, when it came to pass, literally within 2 weeks, we had repacked everything. We had boxed it all back up. We had loaded our car with as much as we could get into the car. And my wife was expecting our first child at the time, right in the middle of the pregnancy. And we went from not having any response to 2 weeks later, we were on the move. We were on the move to our ministry assignment. And that ministry assignment was very important, because after 2.5 years, God brought us from that ministry assignment to a job in Florida, which positioned me to be in the right place for God to say, Merit Assembly of God needs a pastor. And I didn't even know Merit Assembly of God existed. And so I want to encourage you today, if there's anybody who's listening to my voice and you're frustrated because something is not going as quickly as you would like, I want to tell you this from the Word of God and from my personal experience. You can trust God's timing. You can trust God's timing. It may not be as quick as you would like. It may not be as fast as you'd like, but His ways are higher than your ways, and wait for Him. Do not make the same mistake that Abram made when he gave in to Sarai and said, here is my handmaiden. I'm not producing children for you. Go and have children through her. And as a result of that act, there was a dissension in the house, dissension between the Sarai and the servant that she had. There was dissension between Abram's children. There was hostility that raged between them, and it was all because somebody got frustrated because things were not happening. Even though God had made the promise, it didn't happen in their timing. And you know, I personally think that Sarai was looking to point the finger at Abram and say, see, the problem isn't with me, the problem is with you. But that's a story for a different day. But I want you to know that you can trust God with timing. His timing is perfect. If you were to look in the New Testament, you would find that the Apostle Paul is one of the most powerful and influential people in the New Testament. Outside of Jesus, his writings are some of the most profound and impactful on Christendom throughout the history. You know, church ministry to Gentiles really took off to a new dimension because of Paul. But there was a period that the scripture indicates was around 14 years long, where Paul, at that time named Saul, was sitting idly by. It wasn't until Barnabas showed up one day and said, I need you to help me with this revival that is going on in this city. I need you to come and minister alongside of me. And you know, the rest is history from there. From that point on, Paul's ministry was pedal to the metal. I'm going all out for Jesus. And so if the timing has not come to pass for whatever promise that you have, I just want to encourage you to be patient and wait for the Lord. Don't get frustrated. Now, I do want you to make the most out of every opportunity. I'm not talking about sitting idly by and just twiddling your thumbs waiting for God to come strolling alongside. You know, That's not what it means to wait up on the Lord. You know, when I go to a restaurant, they have a server, you know, used to be called either a waiter or a waitress. And what they did was they were there to serve you. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where the person that was supposed to be waiting on you, quote unquote, wasn't around, but you start looking around and say, okay, I see that person serving. I see that person waiting on somebody. I see, where is the person that is supposed to be waiting on me? And so I want to tell you that as we wait upon the Lord to adopt that mindset, and I just want to increase this standard for you, or lay this standard out there for you, and that is this: give God the type of service that you would like if someone was serving you. I want people to give their best, not their worst. I want them to be very diligent, not apathetic. And so those were the things that were happening. So Joseph is in the prison. He is there because Potiphar was angry because of what Potiphar's wife had told him. The baker and the butler of Pharaoh were in the prison because Pharaoh had become angry with them. And so I just want to, you know, bring this part of the broadcast probably to a close today, depending upon what the clock looks like here in just a moment. But there, you are probably not in your circumstance or your situation. You are probably not the only one who has gone through what you are going through. There are probably other people who are there. And you know what? One of the people that was in the prison or in the dungeon with Joseph was also an innocent man. He was there not because of something that he had done, but simply because somebody else got angry with them. And so be careful how you react. I was helping my son out with a project here just a little over a week ago. Let's see. A little over a week ago, a little under a week ago. And there was a person that was sitting nearby, and they were in conversation. I was just waiting for my son at this point in time, and I heard them say, I didn't know that there was anybody else going through what I was going through. I didn't realize that anybody else had a problem similar to mine. I thought I was all by myself. I thought I was going through this situation all alone. And today, if you are going through a traumatic experience or a trial in your life, I want to encourage you and bring comfort to you, not because there are other people going through the same thing. You know, that's like saying, you know, that people were on the Titanic. Well, be of good cheer, folks, because you are not the only one on this cruise liner that is going to sink and everyone's going to drown. That's not comforting. But I do want to bring comfort to your life. I have no idea where these things come from, folks. I'm just here ministering, and these things come dropping in and out of my mouth they fly. I had a person one time that said, Brother Bob, when you preach, there are two people who do not know what's getting ready to come out of your mouth. The first one is the devil. He's got no clue what you are getting ready to say. And the second, I believe, is you. And that was 20-some years ago. And it's like, you know, sometimes it just comes in and out it goes. Being on a sinking ship and saying, well, you know what, I'm not going down alone, that's not comfort. What is comfort is this: that Jesus was tempted in every manner, just as you were, and yet without sin. And that same Jesus who was victorious over everything, over temptation, over death, hell, and the grave, that he has promised that he will never leave you and never forsake you. That if you find yourself in a prison today, maybe it's a prison that you don't even deserve to be in, but know that there is somebody there who's walking with you, who's going to be with you. Can I take you back to chapter 39, verse number 23? Because the Lord was with him. The sovereign King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is with you. And so whatever you're going through, I bet if you look around, you will find that there are other people who are going through similar things. But what can comfort you is knowing that what you're going through, Jesus is there with you, and he will never leave you and never forsake you. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, one of my favorite passages, says, with whatever comfort you have received, use that comfort to comfort others. And that's what we're getting ready to find in Joseph's life, that because God was with him in his prison, in his journey of bondage, that Joseph was going to be able to use the comfort that God had given to him, and he was going to be able to minister and to serve others who were going through similar situations. What are you going to do with your mess? What are you going to do with your test? What are you going to do with your trial? Somebody described a class that they taught, and they said, turning your mess into your message. I don't know who that originated with. I just heard it. I liked it. Are you going to turn your test into a testimony? Are you going to turn your trial into a triumph? You see, what you do with it, you can make your mess bigger, or you can use it to as a platform to proclaim the loving presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you, no matter what you're going through, you may be battling a sickness or a disease, you may be going through a relational issue, whatever it might be, I just want to encourage you right now. Don't just make that a lodging place of misery, but instead make it a platform for ministry to others who may be in a similar situation. Let me pray for you today. Okay, getting ready for a victorious week in the presence of Jesus Christ. Father, right now, Lord, we want to thank you that the events of this life have not come to stay. They have come to pass. I want to thank you, God, that only you have the ability to cross the threshold of eternity with us. And Lord, you have prepared a place for us that where you are, there we shall be also for all of eternity. I pray, God, that as we are looking at this, Lord, that we would wait for your timing, that we would trust you, that you are sufficient, that you are Lord, that you are God, and that you are enough, and you never make us a timing error. And God, I pray also that you would comfort us with your presence, and you would empower and enable us to be able to minister. Lord, there may be a coworker today that we can minister to. I pray that you would use us to further your kingdom in Jesus' name. God bless you a great deal. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it